Today is Quinquagesima Sunday, and due to the weather, the pancake breakfast for this morning has been rescheduled for St. Patrick's Day. Sunday, March 17th, we will have the pancake breakfast for the juniors and seniors. And also, the Father Roy Randolph Pro-Life Group will be praying the rosary at the Planned Parenthood in Glen Cove this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. We ask you to please join them in praying the rosary for this special intention. Also, Sister Mary Cecilia is being treated at Sloan Kettering in New York City, and due to the traveling back and forth from the school to Manhattan that the sisters have to do, the sisters are asking for assistance with lunch monitoring or gym monitoring. So if you are able to either monitor lunch or monitor or teach a gym class, we ask that you please contact the school office. Also, Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and ashes will be distributed at school at the 11:20 Mass and also here at the chapel at the 8 p.m. Mass. Ashes will also be distributed next Sunday, February 17th. The ashes will be distributed before the first Mass and then after the second and third Masses. And the Lenten dinners will also begin on Friday, February 15th. As in the past years, we ask you for your help to make the Lenten dinners a success. If you are able to help, we ask that you please call the office. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind, charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there are remain faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them. And they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitudes passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before him rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. There remain faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It would be a desecration of what is most holy and an outrage against the divine mysteries for one to attempt to offer Mass in ordinary, everyday clothing. This, my dear friends, is how Father Nicholas Geer introduces the subject of priestly vestments in his detailed study of the Mass. And since we never attend Mass without seeing the priest in his vestments, I'd like to explain to you today why the priest wears each particular vestment. You see, the Church takes very seriously the vestments which she places on her priests for the worthy and fitting celebration of the Mass. This is so because each and every vestment that the priest wears symbolizes a specific virtue that the priest must daily practice. The first vestment that the priest puts on as he prepares for Mass is known as the amice. The amice is a square or rectangular piece of linen which has two strings attached to the top corners. When the priest puts on the amice, he first puts it on the crown of his head as he asks our Lord to place upon his head the helmet of salvation. Thus, the amice, the helmet of salvation, is a symbol that the priest must be in constant battle against the devil and the forces of evil. It is thus a reminder to the priest of his obligation to courageously undertake the duties of his state. After the amice, the priest next puts on the long garment known as the alb. And the name alb comes from the Latin word albus, which means white, because this garment is always made of white linen. The alb completely covers the priest, and this complete covering in white symbolizes the purity and integrity that must be found in every priest. But to keep the priest in this state, it is necessary that he constantly guard himself and control himself against vice and the spirit of the world. And this control and restraint is symbolized by the cincture. The cincture is the cord worn by the priest tightly around his waist, and it keeps the alb in his proper place. After fastening the cincture, the priest then proceeds to put the maniple on his left arm. Today, the maniple is made of the same material that the other vestments are made of. However, the maniple used in the early days of the Church were quite different. You see, the maniple was originally used as a handkerchief to wipe perspiration from the hands and the forehead of the priest while he was offering Mass. Due to this fact, the maniple became a reminder to the priest of the tears and the toil which are necessary in carrying out his priestly duties. In fact, each time the priest puts on the maniple, he prays, May I deserve, O Lord, to bear the maniple of weeping and sorrowing, in order that I may joyfully reap the reward of my labors. After the maniple, the next vestment is similar to the maniple, except that it is quite longer, and it is worn around the shoulders and hung down in front of the priest. This well-known vestment, the stole, which we often see the priest wearing, is a symbol first and foremost of the immortality of the human soul. This vestment reminds the priest that he must always strive to live a holy life in anticipation of his own particular judgment. It also reminds the priest that all of his powers, which he received at ordination, are given to him to assist the immortal souls of his faithful, for them to reach their everlasting reward. The final vestment, and the most visible and outstanding of all the vestments, is the chasuble. This vestment, which is reserved for use at Mass alone, is the crown of all the other vestments. Whether its gold emblems and embroidery show forth the great joys of a feast day, or whether its somber black color calls us to mourning at a Requiem Mass, the chasuble is the vestment which catches one's attention whenever they see the priest at the altar. And the reason why the Church makes the chasuble the most noticeable vestment of all the priest's vestments is because it is the symbol of charity. With its cross on the back and its pillar on the front, the chasuble symbolizes the love that our Lord showed for each and every one of us during his passion and death. It symbolizes the charity which must burn in the heart of every priest, a charity which extends not only to God, but to the souls of all men. Our Lord thus demands a true and lasting charity from his priests. But my dear faithful, it is not the priest alone who is called to charity. All men who would be our Lord's disciples and who would seek to enjoy life everlasting in heaven must live a life of true Christ-like charity. Just as all the vestments of the priest symbolize different virtues and are united under the chasuble, so too must the lives of all of us be lives of virtue which are unified and made strong under the virtue of charity. To do this, we have St. Paul's very thorough and specific instructions which he wrote to his newly established church at Corinth. For you see, soon after St. Paul established the church at Corinth, he got word that there were cliques or factions forming among his new converts in Corinth. And realizing how dangerous such a situation would be for the faith in general and also for the salvation of his beloved faithful, he wrote the 13th chapter of his first epistle to them to explain to them that charity is the most important virtue. For charity is the love of God and the love of others for his sake. Thus the apostle wrote that no other virtue is profitable to us without charity. Even such miraculous graces as the gift of prophecy or the ability to understand great mysteries, even the grace to move a mountain, would be useless unless one had charity. Now this doctrine would have been quite different to the Corinthians. For you see, at this time in the church, it was very common to witness such extraordinary gifts as the gift of prophecy and the working of miracles. They would never have thought that such gifts were worthless to those who possessed them if at the same time these did not have charity. St. Paul concluded by telling them that there remained faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, my dear people, although the gifts of prophecy and tongues and miracles are extremely rare in the church today, charity has remained. And all those who would follow Christ and be his true disciples must practice charity. The charity which is characterized by patience, kindness, and forgiving of others. For if we hold grudges against others and refuse to forgive, we do not have charity. For a charity that is not kind and forgiving towards others is a false charity. Charity, then, my dear friends, must stand out in our lives just as the chasuble stands out on the priest at the altar. The great apostle tells us today what the reward will be for a lifelong practice of this charity. We will see God face to face. We will know God even as we know each other. Strive then today, my dear people, to live a life in which your practice of charity is your principal and crowning virtue. In other words, strive to love God by keeping His commandments and to love each other for His sake, by being kind, patient, and forgiving of one another. If you sincerely strive to do this, all your other virtues, such as humility, patience, obedience, and purity, will all grow and be strongly united under your practice of charity. And as you strive to do these things, pray to our Blessed Mother that she might inspire you with a portion of that charity which she holds for all men. Ask her to help you see others as she sees them, and to ever increase your charity even as hers did. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.